from last week. We were talking about 1 John chapter 4. We're talking about love and loving each other and loving God. And this morning, because it's Valentine's Day, I wanted to talk about marriage a little bit and what God's heart was for it, what it was designed for. Did you know that the concept of marriage is God's idea? It's not a government-made thing. Did you know that? You guys convinced? Some of you are like, what is he talking about? Do you know, I really believe that marriage is a metaphor, it's a picture, it's an image of God's heart for us, that he's designed us to live in this relationship where we fully love each other and lay our lives down for each other. And I believe it's a picture of God's heart towards us and how he feels towards us and the kind of relationship that we can have. And the Bible says, you know, that a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. It's literally this oneness that comes, that's what we're designed for, is to become one with that other person, to live in unity and to love one another unconditionally and without holding anything back, with just fully in love with each other. Now, of course, we, you know, at times see where that just doesn't work, right? If you take two people and stick them together and they don't learn to love each other, it can't work. It's impossible. And so we read last week in John 17, where Jesus prayed for his followers, and we'll read that again this morning. He prayed that we would be one. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us, so that the world will believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me, and that you love them as much as you love me. So being united is, again, it's a sign that Jesus is sent from God. It's a sign that God is real. And it's a sign to the world. It sends a message, all right? And it's the same thing I believe in marriage when it says that the two become one. Again, it's a message to the world around us. So what God's heart is, what God intended us and designed us, the kind of intimacy and love that we can have for each other with God and with the world around us. Does that make sense? A few of you are convinced. Are you guys okay? All right. You probably heard some of this kind of terminology when you got married or any other wedding ceremony you've been to. But marriage is a picture. It's another picture of unity. It's the oneness that God calls us to live in. Marriage is a picture of the sacrificial, intimate, sold-out love that God shows us. Now, a common challenge that we see is that people go into marriage thinking, well, this is going to be great for me. What can they do for me? And that, you know, we fall in love with this person. We think, well, they will meet all my needs. Everything that I need, I will get from them. How many know that doesn't work? Okay? No human being, no matter how good looking they might be, will be able to fulfill every need that you have or provide all the purpose you're looking for. Right? We only find that in God. You will only feel completely completed, completely fulfilled, and find real purpose when you know him. I hope you believe that. Okay. There's something also incredibly beautiful, though, about when two people can come together, not only commit themselves together, but actually live it out, where they fully are loving each other. And it paints an incredibly beautiful picture of God's heart, I believe. And that's what I think he intends for us. It's in that place that we're actually able to live that 1 Corinthians 13. We read this again last week, and I think we need reminded of again today. Because a few conversations we had this week, and I was talking with different people, and we talked about how, like, it's easy to say this stuff, but it's a lot harder to actually do it. But love is patient and kind. How's that going in your marriage? Or in your friendships, or in any relationship you're in right now. Love is not jealous, or boastful, or proud, or rude. Just tag that one right in there too. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. That's the Bible's definition of love, and it To me, that speaks of work. That's hard. You agree? Like, to actually live that is hard. But that's what we're designed for. And that's honestly, in that environment is where we thrive. And it doesn't matter what relationship you have, whether it's with a coworker, a friend, or with your spouse. This is what we're made for. And it's when we live with this heart and this attitude and we strive towards this and we work towards this and we are willing to lay down our own rights, because yeah, sometimes that means I have to humble myself to be in this place. Okay? But when I do that, there will be an element of living in the fullness that Jesus has for us that we won't find unless we live in this. Does that make sense? We can model God's forgiveness and his acceptance for us as well in our relationship, in our marriage. Anybody who's been married for more than a day knows that you have to choose every single day to still love that person, to still make them a priority, to still commit to them every single day. Yes? It's not trick questions today, guys. Some of you are really looking at me funny. I don't know. It was never about a ceremony that happened one time 6 months ago, 60 years ago. I hope you didn't go bankrupt over that ceremony. The ceremony is beautiful and it's important and it signifies you coming together with your spouse in a covenant, okay? And the reason that they have that is, you know, it signifies something very different than a contract. And I'll get into that in a minute. But, you know, if the goal in your getting married was to be happy, then as soon as something comes along that steals that happiness, your marriage can crumble, right? When the goal, when you feel like I have expectations that this person is going to meet for me, and then they can't live up to that anymore, and they can't meet those expectations, they can't meet those needs that you feel you have, then all of a sudden, the D word begins to pop up in your mind a lot. Well, I'll just get a divorce. I'll just walk away. It'll be easier. And that comes from looking at a marriage like a contract, where, I mean, we're very familiar with contracts in our culture. Like, I sign the dotted line, you sign the dotted line. One of us doesn't live up to our expectations, I'll walk away, right? That's a contract. A covenant is different, and it comes from, well, God created covenants, and it's a lifelong thing. It's something that you make that is there until death. And so when you actually study in a wedding ceremony, it's phenomenal how much everything that is in there, everything from exchanging rings to giving gifts to the ceremony that's given, it's all around making a covenant, because that's what you're doing. Even though the government is saying you sign this paper and give you a license and you now are legally married, what you're doing before God is actually making a covenant that lasts until death. We okay? One other element that I believe that is important that marriage brings is it reflects a security just a security in who we are, a security in that relationship. I know that my wife has my back and she loves me and I don't ever doubt it. Even when I do dumb stuff. I make mistake. I say something dumb, and you know, I'm going to grow old and my rugged, handsome looks will, you know, she's still going to love me. I was thinking the other day, I was talking to Wayne outside the other night after a meeting, and, you know, I haven't had frostbite in years because I usually dress for the weather. And we're standing outside, and I'm thinking, yeah, it's getting cold. We're only out there for like 10, 15 minutes chatting away, and I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I'm feeling cold. I should go. I get home, and my ear just starts to burn. And I'm thinking, well, that's weird. And then I notice it's like twice as thick as it should be, and it's sticking out like this. And it hurt to touch, and I was like, I was a bonehead. You know, I had a toque in the truck, or not to mention we were standing just outside the door of the front of the church, and yet I got frostbite. And yet, even if it permanently stayed like this, I don't have a fear that my wife's going to kick me out because I did something dumb. Okay, there's a security that comes from knowing that you're loved. Does that make sense? Maybe that's a bad example, but I don't have to worry. So when I... You know, a common thing nowadays is people say, well, we just live together. What's the big deal? It's like being married. And it's like, it's just a piece of paper. Well, no, it's more than a piece of paper, because you're, why don't you go get it then? Because you're actually going to make the commitment. And so the element, the reason we get married is we're saying, I will commit to live for you and to serve you and to love you for the rest of my life. When we don't, when we just say, well, I would just want to live with you, then we just live with someone hoping to get the benefits, but not ever actually saying, I am committed, no matter what. And that's dangerous. And it leads to a lot of pain. I don't worry day in and day out if you know, when I come home, if my wife's going to change the locks on the door or that she's just going to give up on me. I have a security in just being me. And what I love about the security that comes from being loved like that is I'm willing to take a risk that I wouldn't normally if I wasn't feeling secure. I'm willing to step out and try to be creative. Or when it comes to making decisions, I am able to be, you know, the best husband or the best dad possible because I'm making choices for my family. And I know that even if I make a mistake or sometimes those choices are risky and they're hard, I know that my wife has my back. And so I live in a level of security that I don't have to worry about that. Where if I did, it would be different in the way I made decisions in life. Does that make sense? And I think that again, all these things are images, they're pictures. The way that God is like painting for the world to see is when we live in that healthy relationship that he designed us for, that it's a picture of the security that we have in him. I know that I am loved unconditionally by God. And there is nothing I can do to screw that up. Many people live in this place of like, well, I'm not good enough. Well, and we try to perform to earn love. You ever known someone like that? We see people, I mean, there's lots of people that constantly feel like they have to perform. They have to put on something to earn favor from you even. But when I'm in a healthy marriage, I know who I am with my spouse. And it's a reflection of, I know who I am in God. And if I feel secure in him and in his love in me, I'm willing to step out and take risks. I'm willing to step out and be creative. I'm willing to go for all that he has for me because I know I can't lose that love. Ask yourself, if I wasn't afraid, how would I be living differently? If I wasn't insecure about, and you can name it, what people think of me, like what other people will think if I did this, or, you know, how would you act differently if you weren't afraid, if you felt perfectly secure in who you are? Because that is what God is calling you to. He created you for a purpose, and I really believe that if we live in fear, if we live in doubt, if we live in this insecure world, we will never become the person he's created us to be. It doesn't mean that, you know, we don't make mistakes, and doesn't mean that we don't have consequences and issues we have to deal with along the way, but it does mean that God is still able to get us where he needs us to because he is good and he's faithful. Amen? No mistake you've made is too big for him to handle. Maybe you need to tell yourself that. Anyway, I mean, back to the covenant thing. A covenant is definitely not a contract. You know, it's even why a woman has a hymen, because blood was shed, okay, when making a covenant. It was part of it. The whole thing, the whole picture, right from bringing your family, bringing witnesses, bringing people to stand up with you. They used to bring families together and they would lay down their weapons. They would bring in, you would become part of the other family's status. And it was like both families said, we will strive to help you succeed in this covenant you're making. And that's why we have a wedding where people actually come and gather and celebrate. It's like we're all held accountable to try and help them fulfill that covenant. In that sense, we're making that commitment saying, we are for you. We are for you and we'll help in any way we can. In fact, when you read about covenants, like if you walked away from that covenant with your spouse, your own family would hunt you down to kill you. A little different than just going down and getting a piece of paper that says it's over. And that's God's heart, is that we are fully committed. He is fully committed to us. You can read about stories about God's faithfulness in, like in Hosea and Gomer. And, you know, he, even though we prostitute ourselves in sin and in the world, and we, like a lot of the things that we do, we are basically rejecting his heart. He still says, I love you. And he's still faithful to say, I'm pursuing you. He still says, I want you. Because he will not give up on that covenant that he's made with us. Out of intimacy that we see in a marriage, we see the result. We see fruit. We see multiplication. We see babies. And that's awesome. And that's the result of that level of closeness and love. That's his heart. And there's fruit in our lives when we stay close to God. Amen? Are you with me? Do you know sex is God's idea? It's not just for fun or pleasure. It also brings him glory. But did you know that the word Eden means delight and pleasure? So Adam and Eve were the first people that God created. He made them naked and he put them in a place called pleasure. I think a lot of sex happened. It's his idea. It's his gift for a marriage, for people living close to each other. It's the result of that. I'm disappointed, honestly, in the church as a whole, is how we shy away from talking about all that God has for us. And we shy away about some of these topics like sex or money or whatever. And yet these are some of the key things that he says. Sex is a beautiful thing. It's intended for two people in marriage because it's the consummation of that love, that intimacy, that vulnerability that can't come from any other place. Ephesians 5:21-26. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Most people forget that part and then they read this and complain. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. People hear that and they go, oh, the Bible is sexist, whatever. They don't read the whole thing. For a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. Okay? So yeah, the wife is called to submit. But then read the next part. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. So wives are called to submit, husbands are called to die. And you can put that first part up there. You know, the picture is, again, verse 21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We are called to lay down, I'm called to lay down my life for my wife. And to live for her, to honor her. And that means sometimes that I have to put aside my desires and my plans because she needs help. Because loving her looks like something. That's the only way a marriage works. We are called to submit. Is it Two Fleas and No Dog that Craig Hill wrote that book years ago? And it's an awesome book on covenant, but it's the picture of having people either live for each other or they try to suck what they can out of each other, like two fleas trying to wrestle with what they can get out of it. Well, it doesn't work, right? We have to love each other. We have to be willing to lay down our rights and humble ourselves and surrender and submit to one another. That's what we're designed for. Now, I know that for some, this is a hard time of year. This is a hard season because of pain that you've experienced in marriage, or for those who aren't married yet and want to be, and you're waiting for that right person. Listen, I just want to encourage you, love others and live the life right now that will attract the person you want to be with. Because someone that is living in that, with those values and that character, will be attracted to what you personify in your life. Be faithful. And I also want to say this, know that you cannot have all your needs met by someone else. Your needs come, your fulfillment comes in God. And use this time, use this season. It's a season. Use this season to find fulfillment and healing and strength in Him. And I just want to encourage you before, we're going to play a video in a second here, and we just asked a handful of couples and some teenagers at youth and some kids, and we just kind of asked them two questions. How do you keep love alive, and what advice would you give to someone who is struggling in their marriage? And it's kind of fun just to kind of hear some different views. But before we play that, I just want to encourage you this week. Find a way to be purposefully love someone. To love them well. To care for them. Find a way to show them that you value them. And today is Valentine's Day, so if you're married, find a way, even if it's not today, find a way to bless them. Find a way to show them how much you really, really love them. Okay. Do you mind getting that video ready?